It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's always the center of everything. Everything's happening in Arizona. This weekend, we got the Tea Party. The Tea Party's coming up, and it's, I can't even keep track of which Tea Party or how or who and overlapping, and they're doing what a bunch of the activists are going over there. I've been getting calls around the country. What are we going to do? And I'm like, am I allowed not to care, because that's a Republican thing, and they're going to have this $10 registration. If you go to Freedoms Phoenix, I put it up towards the top up there. For $10, you can register for the summit and you get to vote in the straw poll. How many voters will Romney's money buy? We'll find out. Dr. Paul is going to be here tomorrow speaking, and I'm another speaking tour for Dr. Paul, 2012 speaking tour. Cool. Well, one of the issues that came up was immigration. I remember when I was in New Hampshire and we were campaigning there and out in the, chest-high snow, putting signs up everywhere on TV. They were playing immigration bad, it's bad. And I'm going, why is Dr. Paul's campaign taking on this immigration thing? Why is that such a – because that's what the polls were. People have been, whipped up into a frenzy. It's all immigrants' fault. If we got rid of all immigrants, all our problems would go away. Would they? Well, we've had shows on this before, and I want to introduce you to a gentleman, CZ, Siva. CJ Zaya. I couldn't read my own writing. Thank you, CJ. CJ is an attorney from Florida. And he has, he's heavily involved in the Democratic Party, and he kind of represents a voting block of Hispanics. He's run for office. He's been an officer in county politics there for the Democrats, and he's a member of the Florida Bar Association. Now, what he's going to do today, and I think it's a good time for us to talk about this for a little bit, as we go into this Tea Party thing this weekend, because, it's going to be immigration. Russell Pierce's SB 1070 here, and now just yesterday we had on John Green talking about legislation here they're doing, and it's all about tracking everybody. Just exactly what we said was going to happen. It's all this national ID, all these licenses. We know where you live. It's all sent to Homeland Security. This has nothing to do with immigration. It has to do with control. And I'm going, okay, well, let's get into the immigration issue because it is an important issue to a lot of people. Now, CJ, go ahead and explain to me what the issues really are, and we'll get into the DREAM Act and what it actually said, but I need to know what the uphill battle you are against people that said, no, they're illegal immigrants in this country. Can't they understand the law? Get them out. Give me your spiel.
Ignorant. Those people are ignorant. You can be very schooled but not very educated. It's a problem in this country. A lot of ignorance, and that's to be very nice and gentle about it. If you are a proponent for jailing 11 million people, you just think what you're going to be an advocate for is a virtual police state with electric fences, armed guards on the border, roadblocks on every highway, regular raids of all U.S. businesses, Big Brother-like national tracking system, extensive use of ethnic profiling. Hey, this is the country I don't want to live in. And if you want that, hi Hitler to you. I don't want that.
So, I mean, it's already here.
Well, that's my point. They're going to have to do these kind of things if you want to get rid of immigrants. They're not a drain on the economy, and they're not illegal. And let me explain that. 40% of the people who are undocumented in this nation come by airplane. They come here legally with a visa. They just happen to overstay the visa. The other problem I have, and we'll talk about the DREAM Act and the kids that are brought here. If you know anything about criminal law, I'm a PI guy now, but I used to do criminal law, one murder trials on the day. In order to commit a crime, you have to have intent. So if you are a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12 or 16, and brought here by your parents, what intent did you have to come here? Nothing. And that's what the DREAM Act is about. Those are not criminals. So it's not a criminal thing. In a criminal case in the United States, if it's a criminal case, I have a right to an attorney, fundamental right we have here. And guess what? When you go through the reported procedures, those are civil cases. They are not, you don't have right to counsel because they're not criminal. So they're not criminals. Where you get into problems is where you enter the U.S. without going through a checkpoint, without proper papers. But if you overstay, it's clearly not criminal. And there's issues with all this because there's natural law and public law, and I can get into that in a minute.
Well, let me go ahead and do that.
My argument is not criminal. It's they're overstaying. And here's my last point before you ask the questions. My big problem is if you want to put a fence with the southern border, and I understand Texas and Arizona, all these states, this is a big hot issue, but how about the fence with Canada? Why is it always the Mexicans? Most of there's so much illegal, if you will, immigration coming through Canada. They just happen to be white, and they speak our language.
Oh, no, they'll get to Canada.
That's the problem. If you want a fence in Mexico, put one in Canada.
No, they will.
The profiling.
They will.
They won't.
They will.
Because even in Florida, they're proposing legislation just like they've done in Arizona, excluding Canadians and Europeans. They
If they're going to make money at it, they're going to do it because this is money making thing. It's always about it's what it always is. You want to eliminate the violence. You want to eliminate the violence. Let me finish. If you want to eliminate the violence, you eliminate the drug war. But no, it's not about eliminating the violence. It's about funding whatever the heck it is that they want to do. You want to get rid of terrorism, protect against that? Well, then get on the border and start protecting. No, that's not what it's about. It's about creating a police state. You want to get rid of immigrants, you know, first off, I mean, we can get into the details on that. But the one thing, you don't make me a criminal and put me under suspicion and anal probe me every time I want to, you know, cross a border. So I'm going... So one thing that I want to get to, though, is when you say there has to be intent for there to be a crime, and I'm going, I'm looking for the victim. You know, who's the victim?
And there's no victim here except for the person who's being deported, that child that's brought here. I'll give you an example with intent. If you have a pen and you're in the store and you take that pen and you hide it in your jacket, you don't have to walk out. They can arrest you for stealing because you have the intent to deprive a person of that property. If you loan me a pen and I use it and I take it home and I really keep it, but it wasn't my intent to do that, I'm not guilty of being a criminal. So it is, you have to look at each situation and can't just paint the big brush. What I was very impressed with what you just said, which most people don't get, is about following the money. What we know is there's a $1 billion industry in this country, and that's locking people up. CGA Corporation was very much behind writing the Arizona law that the governor pushed because there's money interest. They spend millions of dollars paying the politicians to ensure that, because every time under these laws, if the courts deem them constitutional, they're going to pick somebody up who's brown or black or doesn't meet the suspicion of being not here. They'll incarcerate him for 20 days. Somebody has to pay for that. The taxpayers will pay for that. And they may be citizens or they may be here legally, if you will. And they're going to be making money. And there is a very big interest. When you privatize everything, here's the danger, like jails. The CEO's job is to make money.
No, these aren't privatized. Yeah, let's not confuse this. These are not privatized. These are granted monopolies. And that's a different... You say they're privatized, that means somebody gets to come in and offer an alternative. I come in, I want to compete. Nope, you can't. Oh, well, that's not privatization. True. That's government-granted monopolies. And here in Arizona, we know that on Janet Brewer's staff, was one of the guys behind the privatization making the money on the prisons that they are filling up with immigrants. No, we know. We'll be right back with CJ Zaya here in just... Yeah, Zaya, I can get that right. I did my phonetics wrong. CJ, an attorney from Florida, we're going to get into it. We may have a little bit different perspective on this, but we're going to get to the answer, and I want to know about what are the provisions of the DREAM Act when we come back. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here each and every day on the LRN.FM network in Phoenix, Arizona, broadcasting out of the studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, on the air with me, we have CJ Zaya. Yeah, I did it. Yay. CJ Zaya is an attorney in Florida, and he's involved in Latino rights in the United States, and he's really passionate about, you know, these people are not criminals. And I live here in Arizona. I have owned a restaurant. I have employed many Hispanics, of which many, I am sure, their documentation was not, would stand up to, counterfeiting, you know what I mean? So I didn't care. That, seriously, I mean, you fill out an I-9 now, and it says, under penalty of perjury, you are attesting that this person has a right to work. And I'm like, the heck does that mean? Here, fog this mirror. You got to write the work. Okay? I mean, you know, so that means nothing to me. You know, talk about what's illegal and legal and not. Am I allowed not to care? Well, a lot of people do. They're going, hey, man, America. And, you know, the law is the law is the law. Well, so change the law. Well, they don't want to change the law. It's not really about the law. It's about the immigrants. We don't want these people here because they... I don't know, fill in the blank. They're a drain on. They don't like them. They don't like their music. They don't like their color. They don't like, you know, their granddaughters marrying them. I mean, whatever the heck it is, they got their reason. But what is the American ideal? Give us your tired, your hungry, your poor, huddled masses yearning to be free. You know, that's not a welfare list that she's holding up, the Statue of Liberty. You know, it's the Declaration of Independence. We were like, you know, bring them on, bring them on, bring them on. The problem is that, you know, in my estimation, there's no way for me to defend another human being living at the expense of another. Certainly by the government putting a gun to my head saying, I'm going to take from you and I'm going to redistribute to these guys over here because they need. Well, when this person over here claiming they need is here illegally, man, you just got a, you know, another layer of they don't get access to my goodies. So whenever I talk to Hispanic advocacies of amnesty or changing the immigration laws or them just staying here or whatever, and I want to get into the DREAM Act and I want to get into birthright citizenship and that in a second, but I want you to understand my perspective. Whenever we have this discussion, if I was to ever have someone representing the Hispanic community, illegal people that are here now, if they were ever able to come up and say, you know what? We'll sign on to whatever. We get to be legal residents here, but we never, ever get access to any taxpayer-funded goodies. No public education, no health care, no get to go drive, do what public library, whatever. I mean, you know, we are the good Americans. We're not going to live at the expense of someone else. You know what you become then? You become heroes. You become an example. You become welcome. You become an example of how everybody else should orient themselves towards their fellow man that's being forced to pay for your goodies. So, but that never comes up. And I'm going, wow, you know, and the reason a lot of people will ask, they'll go, why is it that you have all of these government-funded free public education and so on that's going to illegals? And I'll tell you why. It is because our Constitution does not recognize citizenship. It recognizes people. Everybody will be treated equally under the law. So you're going, well, the problem isn't the Constitution. The problem is the welfare state. If you didn't have all this stuff making equally available to everybody, then they wouldn't be getting it. But nobody wants to address that. Nobody wants to address that. Yeah, of course everybody should be treated equally, but not equally getting access to my wallet. So with that understanding, go ahead and help me out with What was it that the DREAM Act actually provided for? What were they going to do? What status were these people going to have? And were they going to get access to my wallet? CJ? Go ahead and call him back. We lost a connection. The you know, this is the point that I'm making. You know, there is always this thing, you know, this justification for we want to be just like every other welfare recipient. Oh, I don't want you to be like every welfare recipient. I don't want you to be a recipient. How about that? I vote that. So the DREAM Act, you got them, Sierra? What? Oh, they're getting them. The DREAM Act, what did it do? Did it provide for the individual to get access to the same stuff that I do? Or did it, you know, make them a different class of citizen? Or do we have to change? So, CJ, go ahead and give me, sorry we lost you, but go ahead and give me the provisions of the DREAM Act itself. What was it actually trying to do?
Well, the DREAM Act is to, basically the purpose of the DREAM Act, it's called the Development, Relief, and Education of Alien Minors Act, or DREAM Act. It was to help those people that came here, youngsters that came here, that if they would enlist in the military, go to college, they'd have a path to citizenship, which they wouldn't otherwise have. People think that there's all these avenues to get your papers and you should do it. Well,
you go fight for the empire, then you get to be a citizen.
Right. You had to be, you had to enter before you were 16 years of age, you know, 15 or younger. You had to be in the United States at least 5 years prior to the enactment of the bill. You must have been a high school graduate or obtain a GED, and that you, you know, you had to have been at least the ages between 12 and 35 at the time of the application. Of course, have good moral character. In other words, if you join the military or go to college, you would have a path that you could follow to get your residency and then eventually your citizenship.
Now,
that's the whole idea.
Well, as I was, you know, listening to this rhetoric, there was military, man. They were advocating for this. Yeah, we need some cannon fodder, man. Line the boys up.
Well, the 38,000, I want to remind a lot of the listeners that one of the first United States soldiers to die in Iraq was a guy by the name of Jose Gutierrez, who came here illegally, if I use that word for this purpose, from Guatemala. There are 38,000 U.S. servicemen that are not United States citizens. Many of those have family members who are undocumented residents of this state. I mean, not legal, if you would. I hate using that, but I'll use it for this conversation. So there are a lot of servicemen that have come here without papers or came here illegally, or they're related to people in that condition. So the military, if you think of France and the French Foreign Legion, they have mostly foreigners that after service they could get citizenship into France. I mean, it's not a new concept. But, yeah, that's basically one of the ideas. It'd be a way of recruiting people for the military or if they went to college.
So the opposition to this concept is just, oh, no, it's just a nose of the camel in the tent. You know, it's your foot in the door. We do this. It's just going to be a deluge of opening it up for people to get legal.
Well, they think they're going to have anchor babies, which is a misnomer.
Okay,
too.
Now when we come back, we'll start talking about birthright citizenship and anchor babies. You guys stay right there here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and CJ Zaya in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedom to the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, we have CJ Zaya on. He's going to help us understand the DREAM Act and this birthright citizenship thing and what's going on, because I need to understand from all perspectives here so I can see what's going on. See, I didn't really understand because I just don't care. You know, to have borders and you got to have governments and have governments fighting over who can do what. And everything. There are those that just want to be left alone. There are those that just want to be left alone. And it's always this government going to, you know, socially and economically engineer me, and now they're going to do it because I'm brown or lived on this side of the border or what, you know. I'm done with that. I freed my mind. Yeah, the revolution between the ears. But we need to understand what's going on just so we have an idea of how it's motivating other people and what they do. So we're looking at the DREAM Act, and we find out that it's really a mechanism by which people under 15 that came here, weren't born here, but came at a young age, and they've been here more than 5 years. They get an education. They got a high school diploma. They're not, you know, criminals with all kinds of felonies and so on. So you know what? If you go be cannon fodder for the empire, well, we'll let you be a citizen. We'll work it out. You know, so it's kind of a, you know, what about that one? Well, no. Except some military, you know, they probably could use the bodies. But so now let's look at the opposition to that came from whom? CJ, help me out. You know, why was this opposed by who?
In the lame duck session, the Democratic controlled House passed it. And it failed in the Senate. A lot of people think that, you know, the Democrats control the Senate. They don't. You need 60 members of the United States Senate to get your way, even if you have 51. But the Republicans and the Tea Party extremists were the ones that made sure this didn't pass, because it's McCain flip, Lindsey Graham, all those kind of guys. And it was five also Democrats that didn't toe the party line. But they blinked. And both should have immigration reform and pass laws that would change how we do business.
Okay, I want to bring this up. I want to make sure that you understand. My whole thing is that it was easy for them to be pro-American, you know, because pro-American meant anti-immigrant in the rhetoric in this country. And the reason is because it was never addressed that the people that are here, that are Hispanic, came here even illegally, crossed the border, came here to go work. You know, guess why? Well, NAFTA just destroyed my agriculture and my country. I came here so I don't die, you know. And I'm going, you know, none of this economic issues were brought up. And nobody from the Hispanic community, certainly not the Democratic Party, ever advocated for them not having access to welfare. They would no. They do everything they can to get the rolls up as much as they can.
They don't. Listen, they really don't.
They do.
All the statistics show that they contribute more than give. And I'll give you just a quick
example. No. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not advocating that Hispanic community makes up an overwhelming, you know, number of our welfare system.
Immigrants contribute to the federal system.
No, that's not my point.
$7 billion.
That's not my point.
Money.
I agree. I'll give you that. I'll stipulate. That's not my point.
Okay.
My point is not. Whether, because if you do the math and you look at, you know, it's a, you know, the white man, you know, gets a whole bunch more welfare. I get it. Okay. They contribute to Social Security and income tax and everything, a lot of this stuff that they don't get back or have access to.
Exactly.
So that helps. Exactly. So I get it. That's not my point. My point is that you will never hear the Democratic Party or their advocates come out and say Hispanics want to be citizen. They want to be here legal in some form, and they don't want access to big government. They will agree not to take access.
In general, are more socially conservative and would identify more with the right than the left for religious and other reasons. So
you're a Democratic Party officer.
They come from a culture where they don't have welfare. So they're looking to feed their families and work.
They left because of a socialist state. They left because of a socialist state to come here for a place. Really? You think you go to Mexico, you cross. I did this with my son. I got to explain this.
No,
we go across
Nicaragua.
No.
Honduras.
Well, let's put it this way. We cross the border in Mexico. We go to help putting a roof on the church doing for an orphanage there in Sonorita. So we go there and we say, you know, my kid's like 13 years old and he has one of his friends with him. I said, you watch, we cross this imaginary line in the sand here. It, you know, you look at all the pavement, look at the nice stores here, the Circle K, the stock shelves, the bathroom availability. We cross this line, watch what happens. Boom, mangy dogs, unpaved streets. It's, you know, what? No, let me tell you what the point is, and I made with them, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I go, the difference is the expectation of the protection of property rights by your government. And if you're in this country and you become wealthy, you have more goodies, you got something, there's a guy with a shiny badge to take it away from you. And I go, the same thing is happening in the United States. And when you don't have this ability to create and maintain and hold and use capital, well, then you have this. And I'm going,
well, I will say that we are moving towards a third world country in the way we're going to need guards when we sleep if you have money, because we have the haves and have nots. We can debate how we get there, but I think you're right. We're going down that road.
I want to. You never answered my question, CJ. My question is very simple, is this. Why is it that the Democratic Party does not take on and advocacies for those that are here, not, you know, legally, in quotes, whatever you want to do? Why are they not saying, look, these people, they don't want access to the welfare state.
No,
we
I,
will
I
stipulate.
Agree. I think by and large they don't, and I'm a Say proponent
it.
Of workfare. So I don't
Say
I don't think I'm a proponent for workfare. I don't control the Democratic Party, though. I would agree that, but if you look at the basic guys, if you see a beggar on the side of the street, I had a staff member that told me, look at that. What a waste of a Social Security number. Because they're here to work, by and large. There are crooks. There are bad guys mixed in, but by and large, the vast majority are just trying to feed their family. That's it. And they're not looking for the handout. They're looking to work. They're looking for a job. And that's all they're looking for.
No,
and
I agree.
Really be abused to get that job.
No, so, I'm experienced with a lot of illegal immigrants here in Arizona are great employees. That's not my point.
There's a big difference between the Republicans and Dems in general, period. Let's be honest, okay? But what we're talking about and what I'm an advocate of is immigration reform and people power. That's all. That people have to be treated as with respect, as natural law would dictate. And it's like blaming the slaves for slavery. These guys are the victims of a lot of bad foreign policy, the problems in their own country, corruption, and NAFTA you mentioned. You know, they were going to drive trucks from Mexico up to Washington, you know, without having it, no borders. The big corporate greed was to have less borders. We know that. But the problem is 9/11, and now they want to institute the border control. So,
no, they're going to do it anyway. They're building the highways here in Arizona.
You're right. You know, it's funny. I listen to you, and I can hear your strong libertarian points. And they're not far from what everybody believes. We're all saying a part of the brotherhood, except it's how do we get there? You know, my
advocate the elimination of the welfare state. Until you do that, you are the enemy.
Well, the welfare state's created by the rich. Let's be honest. If you go to Italy and you go to the Colosseum, right? They built the games. They have the gladiators. That's no different than Raymond James Stadium and the football stadiums of today. You gave the games for free to the people to entertain them. Caesars also gave them free bread.
Oh, you guys are killing me. See, this is the problem. You know, it comes back and you always go, well, until they give up corporate welfare, we're not going to advocate giving up the social welfare. And I'm going, all right, well, you're just as bad as they are. You think I advocate for economic or corporate welfare?
I would agree, but I may be a registered Democrat, and I've been worked in the Democratic Party. The issue we're talking about immigration is both R or D, an independent and libertarian, because what it drives it is ignorance, mostly ignorance, and some racism. And that's my only point. There's no anchor babies.
No, we're going to get to the anchor baby thing when we come back. We'll be right back. We got a short break here, a few minutes. We'll be right back with CJ Zaya, and he's going to help us understand, you know, what does this anchor baby thing even mean? And, it, you know, we know it's going here in Arizona. They're pushing forward, but it's really, you know, it's more, you know, blood from the babies in the DNA database kind of stuff and asking, Mom, are you legal?
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I believe.
Yeah, I think we lost him again.
Is
he there? CJ, I got this.
I'm here.
Okay, no, we just had all kinds of Morse code going on, man. Hey, you know, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. We have CJ Zaya on. He's an attorney in Florida where he's advocating for, I guess, what are you advocating for? The legal status of human beings to be able to be legal to stand in America? I mean, what are you asking for?
Well, I think we need immigration reform. We need Congress to act, to get off the duff, and if you want to seal the borders, fine, or not. That's regardless. We need to legalize and bring the 11 million people that are in the shadows out of the shadows.
Why?
And find why? Well, I mean, because I think that some of the reasons they're not allowed to be here, they claim to be because they're illegal. I think they have a right to status here, and they should be offered that, like all our forefathers did before. The funny thing is, if you know what a WAP is, it's an Italian. That means without papers. I mean, there's a history of this nation of abusing and stepping on immigrants, be it Irish, Chinese, what have you. And I don't think it's based on natural law, it's a good thing. We should do what we say we do in our Constitution and Declaration of Independence, and that's basically why we need to.
Let's get to the Constitution. This birthright citizenship thing's got me. I mean, man, there's nothing they won't do. Now, explain to me what it is that they're trying to do. Because the way the Constitution is now, you're born here, you're a citizen. Well, they're
that's
going,
correct.
No, 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 no. We won't change that. If you're born here of someone that's not a citizen, you're not a citizen. Oh, and how are we going to do that? While they're in labor and they're in contraction, we're over there wanting papers. So I'm just, this just smells bad. So tell me what's up.
It's against our basic fundamental setup of nation that we would change how we've been doing business all these years. But the truth of the matter is, not all countries have this automatic birthright, okay? I was born in a country called Colombo, Ceylon. Ceylon at the time is now Sri Lanka. My dad was a federal government employee. He works for the federal government, a diplomat. And in that country, just by being there, born there, I can't be a Sri Lankan citizen, okay? Most countries don't have that. The United States does. Some do. So we have in our system that you're born here, you become a citizen. It's ingrained in our system, in our Constitution, and there's been legal arguments. It wasn't until 1920 that American natives, American Indians, were given the right to be U.S. citizens. We can change and modify. I'm just not a big believer of changing and modifying the Constitution. The reason they want to change it is because of this concept of anchor baby, which is a big misnomer. It implies that by having a baby in the U.S., temporary illegal immigrants can anchor themselves to the U.S., in the sense that they can get benefits and welfare. In fact, a U.S. citizen child cannot file for a U.S. visa for that citizen parent until that child reaches the age of 21. And then when they get to that age, that citizen applicant must also be earning at least 125% of the U.S. poverty threshold to be able to apply. So on top of that, temporary or illegal immigrants who have babies in the U.S. have no means of remaining legal in the U.S. They must return home and wait at least until the child reaches 21. Illegal immigrants usually cannot immigrate even after the child turns 21, since they usually face a multi-year or lifetime ban from immigration in the United States, regardless of the sponsorship. So the term anchor baby is a complete misnomer. You can't have a baby here and then just get status. That ain't happening.
Yeah, but it sounds good.
Exactly. It's propaganda. Just like when we speak, if we want to mold public opinion, and the R's were brilliant with this, and of death taxes or estate taxes, it really pushes an agenda to make it simple. Whether you agree or disagree, it's brilliant marketing, right?
Yeah, you need to get some brilliant marketing, and you're not. The Hispanic community they're killing me. I give everybody their opportunity to say whatever they want, whether they're camped out on the Arizona State Legislature, while they're rallying around. Heck, there's a lot of them down here making signs at the workshop. I don't care. I mean, you get to have your say, man. I don't care where you're from, what language you speak. The problem is that they will not, and they don't even understand it conceptually, they will not come up and say, I have no need, desire, or any kind of motivation to take from somebody else. I just want to work. Well, not a single time does that come out of the mouths of the advocates such as yourself. Never.
Well,
it's always the corporate welfare and all
that.
This other crap.
No. I told you I was for workfare. If you're going to have some kind of assistance, the people here.
I don't want an assistance. I don't want a dime out of my pocket.
They're coming across the border to work. They don't care about welfare. They care about working, feeding their families. That's it.
No, I understand. That is not. I have personal experience, man. You don't have to convince me. I'm good. I have a daughter and a son that their significant others are Hispanic. I got, you I know, Cinco de Mayo is like
you.
A holiday for me,
I
man. Yeehaw.
So I bet you $1 million that if you asked people, we will give you your status, but for your lifetime, you cannot get public assistance. I will bet you there will be lines of people signing contracts and guaranteeing that just for the right to work.
No, cool, cool. Where's the advocacy? Where is the advocacy?
Let's propose that.
I'm waiting on you now. I haven't been, you know, shy about it.
Well, I'm telling you something. I'm going to mention it from now on. Because why not? Because the reality, I think you're, I hate to say this, I think you're correct. I mean, that if you really talk to the average immigrant that comes here, they're not coming here. They're not in any illusion that the roads are paved with gold and they're just kind of cha-ching, except for maybe the Cubans that come who have a right to be here by just stepping on the soil that needs to change. What they're looking for is the right to work and the right to have liberty and the ability to do what they need to do.
You know how much easier it is to advocate for that if you make it very open and public? Everybody in your position, I've had this conversation, I go, how much easier would this be if you just blunted every single criticism with, hey, well, we'll make the agreement, we'll be the only true, self-sustaining, independent Americans in this whole freaking country. We don't want access to your goodies. We'll have our own schools.
I'm going to say something to you, and I've listened to a lot of people talk on this subject, both pro and con. Nobody has suggested that.
Of course not.
I'm going to start spreading that word, because I will bet you that they would, and I'm going to ask them, if they would give up their lifetime ability to collect welfare or assistance, would they do that for the privilege of legally working in this country?
Oh, let me tell you, it's going to happen anyway, because, you know, the white boy is not going to be getting any welfare as this country spirals down. And if you guys come out first on this, guess who's more American? Guess who's a patriotic, self-sustaining pioneer crossing borders and seas and oceans and deserts, and who's the good guys? You. This is so simple. It's so, why do you think this love illusion, this revolution thing that went around Dr. Paul's rhetoric with the young, it was all about self-sustaining. You own yourself. You're not going to put a gun to somebody's house and take their head and take their stuff. And I'm going, the Republicans do the same thing, like you say, for corporate welfare. I got baseball and football stadiums. Heck, I filed lawsuits against them doing what they did. I got so many lawsuits, I can't keep track of them. And the thing is that corporate welfare, we knew that we were making fun of them when they do that. The same time, these people make fun of, you know, they go, oh, well, these guys, you know, the welfare recipients, oh, they're brown, they must be on welfare. They're black, they must be on welfare. They're living in a trailer, they must be on welfare. At the same time, they're getting gazillions of dollars, the tunes of hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars from some light rail system that nobody wants or needs. And I'm going, you know, this is stupid. It's all welfare. It's all transfer from me to them. And the Hispanic community comes out and says, you know what? We are the only group, the only demographic that are advocating not to get any of it. Now you can go worry about all the big fat cats over here that got their lobbyists down at the legislature. Go get them. We're not the drain. We are not the drain. We'll educate our own kids. We'll provide for our own apprenticeships. We'll provide for our own, you know, communities. We are the real freedom-oriented individual. You do that, oh, it's going to get really fun for 2012, CJ.
I think they would agree to it. I think you're onto something. I'll bet you the average migrant would agree to it. The average undocumented
person. Of course they would. But the Democratic Party and the advocacies around this kind of stuff won't. So you got to lead them.
Republicans calling for that either, though.
Of course not, because they want their welfare.
Thank you.
You know, what did you think? What do you think? You know, Medicare and Social Security and recipient day law pension, we got, you know, they're in the streets right now in Wisconsin, New Jersey, and this is going to go countrywide. And if the first people out there are saying, you know what, we're not going to be a drain on anybody, guess who wins the rhetoric? Guess who wins? You understand
Love
my
it.
Point? Hey,
Absolutely,
CJ,
sir.
Thanks for coming on. CJ Zaya from Florida, we'll be right back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.